Where were the dreams in that?
He thought of all the corporate lawyers who occupied half of the building, all the operatives who occupied the lower levels, and all the sub-editors and their secretaries and their secretaries' lawyers and their secretaries' lawyer secretaries, and worst of all, the accountants and the marketing department. He had half a mind just to keep on falling, a finger to the lot of them. He was just passing the 17th floor now, where the marketing department hung out. A load of tosspots all arguing about what colour the guide should be, and exercising their infinitely infallible skills of being wise after the event. If any of them had chosen to look out of the window at that moment, they would have been startled by the sight of Ford Prefect dropping past them to a certain death and flicking the finger at them. 16th floor. Sub-editors. Bastards. What about all that copy of his they'd cut? 15 years of research he'd filed from one planet alone, and they'd cut it to two words, mostly harmless. A finger to them as well. 15th floor. Logistical administration, whatever that was about. They all had big cars. That, he thought, was what that was about. 14th floor. Personnel. He had a very shrewd suspicion that it was they who had engineered his 15-year exile while the guide metamorphosed into the corporate monolith, or rather duolith, mustn't forget the lawyers, it had become. He was having to think rather fast at the moment because the situation was becoming a little urgent. He suddenly remembered the floor display panel in the elevator. It hadn't had a 13th floor. He thought no more about it because, having spent 15 years on the rather backward planet Earth, where they were superstitious about the number 13, he was used to being in buildings that numbered their floors without it. No reason for that here, though. The windows of the 13th floor, he could not help noticing as he flashed swiftly by them, were darkened. What was going on in there? He started to remember all the stuff that Harl had been talking about. One new multidimensional guide spread across an infinite number of universes. It had sounded, the way Harl had put it, like wild meaninglessness dreamed up by the marketing department with the backing of the accountants. If it was any more real than that, then it was a very weird and dangerous idea. Was it real? What was going on behind the darkened windows of the sealed-off 13th floor? Ford felt a rising sense of curiosity, and then a rising sense of panic. That was the complete list of rising feelings he had. In every other respect, he was falling very rapidly. He really ought to turn his mind to wondering how he's going to get out of the situation alive. He glanced down. 100 feet or so below him, people were milling around, some of them beginning to look up expectantly, clearing a space for him, even temporarily calling off the wonderful and completely fatuous hunt for Wockets. He would hate to disappoint them, but about 2 feet below him, he hadn't realised before, was Colin. Colin had obviously been happily dancing attendance and waiting for him to decide what he wanted to do. "Colin!" Ford bawled. Colin didn't respond. Ford went cold. Then he suddenly realised that he hadn't told Colin his name was Colin. "Come up here!" Ford bawled. Colin bobbed up beside him. Colin was enjoying the ride down immensely and hoped that Ford was too. Colin's world went unexpectedly dark as Ford's towel suddenly enveloped him. Colin immediately felt himself get much, much heavier. He was thrilled and delighted by the challenge that Ford had presented him with. Just not sure he could handle it, that was all. The towel was slung over Colin. Ford was hanging from the towel, gripping to its seams. Other hitchhikers had seen fit to modify their towels in exotic ways, weaving all kinds of esoteric tools and utilities and even computer equipment into their fabric. Ford was a purist. He liked to keep things simple. He carried a regular towel from a regular domestic soft furnishings shop. It even had a kind of blue and pink floral pattern, despite his repeated attempts to bleach and stonewash it. It had a couple of pieces of wire threaded into it, a bit of flexible writing stick, and also some nutrients soaked into one of the corners of the fabric, so he could suck it in an emergency, but otherwise it was a simple towel you could dry your face on. The only actual modification he had been persuaded by a friend to make to it was to reinforce the seams. Ford gripped the seams like a maniac. They were still descending, but the rate had slowed. "Up, Colin!" he shouted. Nothing. "Your name," shouted Ford, "is Colin, so when I shout, 'Up, Colin,' I want you, Colin, to go up, okay? Up, Colin!" Nothing. Or rather, a sort of muffled groaning sound from Colin. Ford was very anxious. They were descending very slowly now, but Ford was very anxious about the sort of people he could see assembling on the ground beneath them. Friendly, local wocket-hunting types were dispersing, and thick, heavy, bull-necked, slug-like creatures with rocket launchers were, it seemed, sliding out of what was usually called thin air. Thin air, as all experienced galactic travellers well know, is in fact extremely thick with multidimensional complexities. Up! Bellowed Ford again. Up, Colin! Go up! Colin was straining and groaning. They were now more or less stationary in the air. Ford felt as if his fingers were breaking. Up! They stayed put. Up! Up!